This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 266. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Begun the Trinity War has. How Not to Save a Losing Title, Holy Digitization Batman, Bruce and Selina Ride Again, and Your Honor Guard Call May Be Monitored for Quality Assurance. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 21st, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League number 22 and Justice League of America number 6 by Johns, Lemire, Rice, and Mankey. So Trinity War is on. And it starts with this mysterious woman coming to see Madame Xanadu, who's having these dreams that are apparently making her into an arsonist.
The mysterious woman.
And she has these dreams of a city destroyed and the heroes losing. Then we cut to Billy Batson deciding he's going to return Black Adam's ashes to Kandok. And of course, that will really go well. Maybe you should turn into Shazam and then get the Wisdom of Solomon to see how bad an idea that is.
Well, he did turn into Shazam, though, and decided to go anyway.
Exactly.
I don't know. It seems to me like if you really wanted to do that, you would have thought, well, geez, there was this big conflict when Superman went in. Maybe I'll ask if I can put the ashes there.
And then meanwhile, Amanda Waller wants to recruit the new Dr. Light, or the Dr. Light of this continuity, who's working for Argus and apparently was a regular scientist. There's this explosion, and now suddenly he absorbs light and has light powers.
And I just don't understand how this works, because if you went out in daylight, wouldn't you be just sucking up the sunlight?
One would assume. At one point, he refers to Kim on the phone. He's talking to Kim, and that might be a reference to who's going to replace him as Dr. Light, because, of course, there was a female Dr. Light named Kim, I believe.
Kimiko?
Yeah, Kimiko in the previous continuity. We then cut to Clark and Diana, who are dropping off Despero at Belle Reve. Remember, they had beaten up Despero, actually Martian Manhunter had, in a previous issue. Diana disapproves about the whole thing because she would rather deal with bad guys, as in permanently. She doesn't see the point of throwing them into prison.
She said, we don't kill them all the time. So right. I was thinking about how Clark could just say, yeah, we used to do that too, and put them in the Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, come on. There's things you can do besides just put them in the revolving door of Belle Reve.
Right. Pandora arrives, who we've obviously been seeing all along, and now this whole thing is going to revolve around her. He asks for their help, and then she proceeds to shove the skull into Clark's hands, and that doesn't go well because suddenly he turns evil for a second. And
well, this makes sense because Clark, or Superman, doesn't respond well to magic.
Right.
And this is a magic thing. So... And maybe that's not well known in the general public or whatever, but you would think that Wonder Woman would know that.
You would think. So we then cut to Bruce and the new recruits of the Justice League checking over the Watchtower remains. Remember, the Watchtower crashed into Earth in a previous issue.
In Happy Harbor.
Yeah, it just happens to be in Happy Harbor. Previous continuity was where the JLA had their headquarters in the early Silver Age. And then we cut again to Shazam flying into Kandok, and the Justice League and the Justice League of America separately go in to retrieve him. Then the question appears, asking the question of who is the evil behind the Justice League of America. the Justice League and the Justice League of America confront each other, and a big battle begins. At one point, Clark's heat vision goes haywire and, from all appearances, vaporizes Dr. Light.
Well, now see, what would you expect if you put somebody who absorbs light just spontaneously by Dr. Light next to somebody who absorbs light for their energy?
Is a solar battery.
Yeah, so he's going to pull all the light from Clark.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he just pulls the vision out.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
We learn that the mystery woman from the beginning of the issue is Plastique, an old villain, who then takes out Xanadu, basically blows up the place.
But is Xanadu really dead?
No, she's not dead. We finally cut to the secret society leader, who we're now pretty sure is the outsider from Flashpoint, who undercuts the drama immediately by saying, oh, Superman didn't do it. We just made it look like he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm reading online, apparently this was changed in the story at the last minute due to the reaction from Superman killing someone in the Man of Steel movie.
Huh.
That they added this scene. So the battle continues, and Vibe throws off Flash's speed force and stops him. Clark finally stops the fight and then begs to be taken away because he's like, I just killed that man. And Waller seems happy about the whole thing and asks Firestorm if he knows how to make kryptonite. Clark is under these really heavy restraints and seems to be getting sick. Diana goes to the god Hephaestus to get answers about Pandora and the box because supposedly he made the box, but he says he didn't make it. Nobody knows who actually did. And she then goes to the Justice League Dark in order to get help because obviously this is magic-based. So now we have all three teams involved. And the question arrives again, Clark, I know who killed Dr. Light. So that's a lot of stuff to go on in two issues.
Indeed.
Now, one thing, again, this is all supposition on the net, is that not only is the secret society leader the outsider from the Flashpoint continuity, a character I really liked, and I actually at the time said, boy, it'd be great to see him show up in the New 52. Apparently he has. There's this whole theory going around that this is going to end up with the introduction of Earth 3 and the crime syndicate, and that the outsider is the Alfred Pennyworth of Earth 3. And the reason that's being thrown around is that the outsider name was at one point used by Alfred in the 1960s.
Okay.
We'll see what happens, but that's what's being thrown around as a supposition right now.
You know, as much as DC wants to pull in new readers, if they continue to do stuff like this...
But it's Geoff Johns. That's what he does.
It leaves people feeling like they're missing something. And then they don't go back and reread the old stuff. They just forget about it.
I suppose. Well, let's talk about how not to build interest in a losing title. JLA's Vibe, number 6, by Gates and Woods. So, we just talked about Trinity War. Vibe has a big part in Trinity War. The Vibe title is dying in sales after only 6 issues. It's dropping rapidly, and it never started high to begin with. Maybe we should tie it actually into Trinity War. Nah. There's not even a reference to Trinity War here.
This reminds me a lot of how the Wonder Woman book doesn't really relate to the continuity. This doesn't relate to the continuity. You have Vibe working with the Justice League in Trinity War.
Right.
And you have Vibe working actively against Amanda Waller in this book.
And having to break out of this cell that Argus has put him in. I'm rapidly coming to the conclusion that you should now just read the various DC comics as every book is its own continuity.
Yeah, you have to.
There's no tie-in. And again, this is their perfect opportunity to get a big boost in sales by putting, what, I make it a Trinity War tie-in. That's an idea. It does say JLA on the cover of this title.
Yeah.
Now, the only interesting thing that actually happens in this issue is when Vibe breaks out the other prisoners, we see these incredibly obscure multiverse references. I had to go out on the net to find at least some of these as to who they were. Lady Quark and Pariah, who are both from the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Brother Grimm, someone named Cybernary, was from a Wildstorm title. Polaris Spanner, who apparently was in this miniseries called Spanner's Galaxy in like the early 80s that had nothing to do with the rest of DC continuity. Maldor, and the three demons that are introduced in the first in continuity Silver Age JLA story. And that's just some of the characters you see. That was very interesting. The rest of the title is like, pretty much we, at least I'm assuming, this title is officially on Death Watch.
And when Vibe dies in the Trinity War, it will be canceled.
Right. Because, as far as I can tell, that's why they brought this character back in, specifically for Trinity War. Batman 66, number one, by Parker and Case. So I've been looking forward to this ever since it was announced. 20th Century Fox and Warner have finally buried the hatchet. Got to remember that the Adam West Batman series was made by Fox and not by Warner Brothers, because that was before DC was bought by Warner Brothers. That's why this show, for the longest time, has been in this limbo from a legal perspective. So they couldn't do stuff based on the title. This past year, the two companies got together and said, we're losing too much potential money on this. Let's do some sort of sharing deal on it. So now there's lots of stuff coming out, and this is just one of them. This is a digital-first title that is in the Adam West continuity of Batman. And it really does capture the feeling of the 1960s episodes. I'm very impressed with the artwork, except for a couple things. Is the color separation intentional, or is it a mistake? Especially near the beginning of the issue, it almost looked like they were trying to get like a 3D look from it or something.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that it was intentional, but that may be wrong.
Yeah. The other point is they matched all the actors very well in the title, so it looked like the original actors, except for Alfred, who looks nothing like the Adam West Alfred. Why? Did they not have the rights to his face? I don't get it.
Oh, who knows?
But the dialogue was great. Frank Gorshin Riddler was particularly impressive. We even get a window gag. That's great. We have Julie Newmar as Catwoman. Apparently, from what I'm reading, we're going to eventually see the other actresses that played Catwoman later in this title. This is an ongoing series. I have to say I was a little thrown in one sequence by seeing Batman minus his cowl in the Batcave, which I don't think we hardly ever saw him in the Batcave.
In the series.
In the series as with the whole costume on except for the cowl. I just don't remember that hardly ever happening. I think they made a thematic choice when they did the series is, you don't see Bruce Wayne in the Batcave.
Right.
He's got to be Batman when he's there. But regardless of all that, I highly enjoyed this and I highly recommend it.
No, it was good. I don't know.
Batman and Robin. Oh, sorry. Batman and Catwoman, number 22 by Tomasi and Gleason. So it appears that Bruce is starting to get over Damian's death. Because he doesn't attack Selina like he did the others throughout this whole sequence of issues where they've been substituting people for Robin. And he even ends up replacing the helmet he earlier smashed. So he also continues to string Carrie along. And I don't see how long he thinks he can get away with that. Because, he's off education thing in Europe or something. And it's like, okay, but eventually he's going to have to come back. And how are you going to explain that he never comes back?
Or he could get into a car accident in, Japan or something.
I suppose. I'm more and more convinced that Carrie's going to become the new Robin.
That would make sense.
Yeah, and the fact they keep bringing her back in there and have not written her out, because that would be the easy thing to do at this point. Astro City number 2 from Vertigo by Busiek and Anderson. Like most issues of Astro City, it's really more about the civilians than the heroes. And it answers a basic question. How do you get in touch with a super team when there's a crisis?
Justice League!
Yeah. What do you do? In a lot of comic books, hero or a set of heroes, they just happen upon something.
Or they have monitor duty.
Or monitor duty, which is ridiculous to have a hero sitting around watching TV all day. Or some government official reaches out to them, and that's about it. If you're a civilian, how you do that? Well, you call the help desk, of course. And so they've set up this help desk for the Honor Guard. As always in this series, everything is really well thought out. There's this group of shell companies that these employees supposedly work for. They even have badges from these different companies. And there's, you know, buildings somewhere, wherever they're at, where they go into work. Except when they walk in, they go into a portal that takes them to the actual place where the help desk is being run. Batteries of tests are run to make sure you're psychologically correct for this. It's very well managed. The headquarters actually moves every few months, and then you just use a portal to get there so that the employees can end up living in their current locations. They don't have to move somewhere. And they can keep up the concept that they're not working for the Honor Guard help desk, that they're just working for some company doing help desk work. And we meet Morella, and we see her enter and then move up into the organization. And then we also get a few hero/villain splash covers, but they're only really used as a reference, which again, you see a lot in Astro City. Here's this battle that's going on. Okay, now you know that battle happened, or it was just referenced. Morella, she meets her fellow employees. She goes on trips with them, again, via the portal. Makes it very easy to do a quick day trip to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's very critical work for these help desk people because they have to prioritize real issues against, my cat's stuck in a tree, or, you know, minor issues that anybody could handle.
Right.
It needs to be something great enough, and they need to separate the wheat from the chaff. She, unfortunately, makes the wrong call on something that thought it was minor. Actually, it was major. And at the end of the issue, the heroes are rushing into this big crisis. And it's something that maybe could have been averted had she made the right call.
Had she recognized the situation.
Right. And that's a to-be-continued moment for the next issue. Again, really enjoying Astro City.
I always like it. Well, I almost always like Astro City.
Okay. Obviously, San Diego Comic-Con is happening this week. It's just finishing up as we're taping this. We are going to cover it in a special episode next week.
Talking about some comic news
coming out. But before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? I tried to sound enthused. I'm a little sleepy, Mark. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it one movie?
Yes.
Is it a movie that just came out?
No.
It's a movie that's coming out?
Yes.
A movie that's coming out, is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it superhero related?
Yes.
Is it Avengers 2?
No.
Is it DC related?
No.
Is it Marvel related?
Yes.
Is there a Spider-Man coming out?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there is. Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay. Turn off the dark?
No. Yeah, you didn't know there was a Spider-Man coming out?
Oh, I did. I just didn't.
It's like there's like 18 Marvel movies coming out. So.
I didn't know it was like imminent enough to put it on the cover.
Well, they've had the girl on talk shows.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who the girl is.
Hmm.
But I haven't seen Garfield, who's playing the Spider-Man anywhere. Not Garfield cat. No.
Spider-Man loves lasagna. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. Please subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email us at sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter at SFPBN or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.